I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised.
That brings back memories from one of my favorite movies. Hey, Dennis Lee.
Hey, Donald Wayne.
You know what? Hang on there with me for a second. I think I have this on the wrong speaker system again. All right, let's try that again. Hello, Dennis Lee.
Hello, Donald Wayne.
Yeah, I think you're in the right place now. Or maybe I'm in the right place.
I could have been in the right place.
I've gone totally blank here. I can't hear it. Music that's in front of me. Have mercy. All right, it's January the 20th, and it's Wednesday Hump Day, and we have a new president. Oh my goodness, are you still there? Uh-oh.
What in the same hell's going on around there?
Hello.
Hello?
You know what? I'm going to have to spend some money and hire an engineer. I can't stand it. What happened? I don't think that's, well, we're just having all kinds of fun with Dennis Lee.
Donald Wayne, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. What? You can hear me?
I can hear you. What?
Hey,
what?
Welcome, Ass D.
Welcome. What are you talking? What'd you call me? What? Good Lord. We're starting out with fight words at the very beginning of the show. I mean. why don't you just say, you know, hey,
oh,
numb nuts. Oh gosh.
Oh, welcome, Robert.
Well, that's probably the only thing I've had to laugh about today, to be honest with you.
Oh my goodness. I like the tunes you have.
Oh yeah, I love it. Well, yeah. Oh, there's Robert. I think Eric's, hey, Robert, I think Eric's been trying to get me to play the other one, the closing song. Oh, gosh, I can't think of the name of it. I got it on here.
Closing
what
time?
Did I?
What?
What did I just miss? Because when I came in, I heard, well, them's fighting words. What is this, a cowboy and Indian? What am I listening to? A cowboy and Indian show?
I was just recognizing a listener, and his name is Ass D, and Donald Wayne just caught that wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. I mean, you know, that's a heck of a way to open up a show.
My goodness.
But.
So I heard you're still giving away those coffee cups.
Robert, you have a coffee cup.
No, I'm trying to get my brother to come so he can get one.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Actually, we're going to do that Friday night, Robert, because we're going to come up with a different contest way to do it. So we'll be doing that Friday night. We're going to devise, you know, some little comical scheme for people to participate and win a cup. And we might even put something in the cup this time.
Money?
Well, I don't know, Robert.
You didn't hear that here.
I don't know, Robert. Maybe some kind of powdered drink. Maybe some Ovaltine or something. What? Whoa!
No. Don't say that at Slightly Show. You'll get a whipping.
Let's just say this. We're going to make a deposit in the cup. I just won't tell you what that deposit will be.
I may not want to know.
You may not. I mean.
Just suffice it to say that, you know, well, I won't go there. It's not Friday. I can't go there. I don't even know, with all the commotion that's been going on in the last 6.5 minutes. I don't even think I said this is Trice Talk.
You didn't. No, it was too much.
And I'm Donald Wayne. And
I'm Dennis Lee.
And the one who called me and asked something, that's Dennis Lee.
I was recognizing a caller, a chatter, someone that came into the show.
Oh, okay.
ASSDDF111. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, see, now, if I enlarge the screen where I can actually read those little tiny, tiny font, then the caller board disappears and you know.
So you couldn't see ass on the screen. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I have a big screen over here on the wall. I guess I could put it up there and I'd probably see it. But
oh, my goodness. Robert, well, don't provoke him like that. This is horrible.
But, yes, if you want your brother to win a cup, if you get him to participate on Friday night, Robert, he'll have as much chance as anybody. But he has to call in. So it has to be a caller. So. But he called in before, so I'm sure that's something he's fine with doing.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's doing his show right now.
Oh, how's the show going there, Robert?
I don't know. I got my own show to look. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing that you...
See the little sibling rivalry going on there.
Family concern. Yeah, I thought about that.
We don't need to dig anything up.
You know, at least y'all, hopefully you're doing different kinds of music. Is that the case, Robert?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I was told.
Robert wants to talk about that, don't
Yeah, I, that was about the shortest answer I think I've ever gotten.
Have you had hot chocolate out of your cup yet, Robert?
Not yet. It's 40 degrees today. That's the highest it's been all week.
Well, that's definitely hot chocolate weather. I mean, what is it? Is there a certain temperature that it needs to be? I mean, I know, like, I don't like chili unless it's, you know, cold outside.
I've drank hot chocolate, you know, in the spring. I mean,
have you?
Yeah, just crank that air conditioner up. You get a little chilled.
Oh, well, that's true. I mean, realistically, I could drink hot chocolate through the middle of the summer because once I get in the house, it's, you know, 40 degrees in here, so.
Right. Yeah, just turn that air conditioner up so you can get a little frosty. Well, there's somebody getting a notification of something.
My goodness, what is that?
Joe Biden has abdicated. he's left Washington, D.C. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, so you're doing okay, Robert. You were just checking on us about the next cup giveaway. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, because I'm sure there's other people that want a coffee cup that missed the first contest.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to do anything of that scale, but we're going to try to do some, you know, tried something the other night and that didn't work out too well and it couldn't get anybody to call in about it. So I think Friday night on Frivolity, that's probably going to be a good place for us to give away some cups. And, you know, Dennis he's going to put them through some kind of trial and tribulation. And if they survive it, then they can win a cup.
Indeed.
Well, here's a nice trial and tribulation during the summertime.
Oh.
Okay.
Stand in front of an ice fire hose when it's trying to be turned on and see if you could survive the water pressure coming out of it. It's so funny to watch it on YouTube.
I was going to say, anybody survive that?
Yeah, I thought maybe you had done it.
No, I have not.
One of those TikTok things or something, Robert. We don't judge here.
No.
It looks painful because of the high water pressure coming out of them.
Well, yeah, you can hurt yourself with a pressure washer, actually.
You get hit by a random hose. I mean, that.
Yeah, well.
That's not good for anybody.
That's. No. I could send you to the hospital.
Indeed, it could.
Or getting slapped by one, too.
I have survived the cold water shower from a garden hose that a kid thought was funny to spray all over me. I'm like, oh, you wouldn't like it if I did that to you. He's like, don't do it. I'm like, two wrongs don't make a right here.
Was it summertime or wintertime, Robert?
Yeah, it was summertime. I'm like, but that water is cold when it's 100 degrees. That could throw your body into a shock.
Well, that'd be no good either. No. How old were you? Was that like last summer?
That was a couple summers ago before the virus got here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that can be a shock in 100 degree weather with that cold water coming on you. Well.
All right. So we definitely will try to avoid that. I actually lost water service one time living in Mobile, Alabama, when the hurricane came through, and we would all kind of draw straws to see who got what remaining water was left in the water hoses on the buildings. And even in the summertime at night, that water can be kind of chilly. That's the only way we had to clean up for about 6 days. And it got chilly.
Wow.
That was roughing it. Yeah. Yeah. No water for 6 days. I think it was 4 days on the electricity. And
so what happened? The hurricane took out the main water line or what?
Well, without electricity, you can't actually run the pumps. So there was no way to pump water to the neighborhoods. So that's why there wasn't any water. We use a swimming pool to fill the toilets so people could still use their toilets, but that was fun. That's why I won't live on the coast anymore. The heck with that, because it seemed like if I decided I wanted to live on the coast again, I guarantee you that would be the spot that the first hurricane in 200 years would hit. So,
yeah. Or a tsunami.
Or tsunami. I don't think we've ever had a tsunami hit the coast of the United States, have we?
Well, I don't know if you call it the coast, but it has hit the United States as far as Alaska goes.
Oh, really? On the islands or the mainland of Alaska?
I think on the mainland, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's way
from
up there.
It was from a glacier that collapsed into the ocean, but nonetheless, it still created a tsunami.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. Huh. Never thought about that.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know. Well, just one of those little facts that we kind of overlook sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Wednesday. We have a new president and a vice president. And I guess Joe Biden's been president for about a little over 11 hours, 11 hours and 15 minutes, something like that. And I was thinking about it tonight. I said, well, I still have a job that I can go to. I still have my family. I still have my faith. Mm-hmm. I still have my country, and I love my country. And so actually, you know, it could be worse.
Right. I tend not to try and say that particular phrase because usually something happens to me the very next day.
Like COVID or something?
Yeah, right. But I do agree. I do agree.
It's
odd that a new president would come in on hump day.
I
was going to try and look back on that and see if
If there's ever been a president humped on
yeah, I mean, if all the presidents get humped in on the inauguration, or it's just this one, I don't know.
Well, I think that's probably a fact that you'll be hard to find, but well,
indeed.
I never really thought about that. I guess the 20th roves around, so I think if if it falls on a Sunday, they won't do them on a Sunday. Have they ever done one on a Sunday, or have you researched that?
I don't know. I'm going to have to research that before we're done with the show. I'll have an answer.
Oh, okay.
We'll send that down to research and see what we come back with.
Yeah, one of the little people.
Whoa, my goodness.
down the chain. Well, I guess that doesn't sound right either. and I was going to say also, and unlike Maxine Waters, you know, about Donald Trump not being her president, I'm going to admit that Joe Biden is my president. I'm not crazy about it, but he is my president. So I'm not going to be in a state of denial for the next 4 years, like she was all during the Trump administration. So
yeah,
I got one on you, Maxine.
I mean, it is what it is, and you know, right, nothing can be done about it. We got 2 years that to get individuals ready to be able to run and at least flip the Senate. So look, they got 2 years with the whole kit and caboodle. Better do something good with it.
I saw something today that said Liz Cheney is in trouble in her home state because people are pissed off at her voting for Trump's impeachment. Now, I have not confirmed that with my sources, but I did see that in print today, that Liz Cheney, that some people are trying to recall her in Wyoming because of her support of Trump's impeachment. So we'll see. Maybe that'll be the first casualty.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anybody watch the inauguration today? I mean, I wasn't in a position to actually sit down and watch it if I'd wanted to, but I did see it on the TV in the home that I was working on.
Most people had to work, so the places I went to had it on their TV, you know, they were watching intently.
Yeah.
But I got to see recordings of it when I finally got home. It was running on the TV.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I kept hearing, I think the house that I was on, I think they were watching NBC. I actually remember that Stephanopoulos character. Is he on NBC or ABC? You know, George Stephanopoulos. Yeah. Stephanopoulos or whatever.
I think he's on NBC.
Okay. Well, I think that's the one they were watching, and I would catch, catch bits of it every once in a while when I'd pass through the room and not gag, but it was amazing how much they did talk about Trump today. And some people were even critical of the fact that he wasn't there. And I'm thinking to myself, but you don't really want him there. I can't. I mean, you know, when he was inaugurated, I don't know. I remember the number of people from the House of Representatives didn't go that day, but there was a number of Democrats that refused to be there during the inauguration. They seemed to forget about that, but they were very, very critical today of Donald Trump not being there. They said, well, it's the first time in 150 years that an outgoing president wasn't there for the exchange of power. And I'm like, you people don't want him there. And you want to put him in jail. So why would he be there? I mean, it was a shame.
I mean, Pence was there, so, you know.
Right. And they like him now. They like Pence now.
Oh, so, yeah.
And they seem to love, Oh gosh. What's the New Jersey's ex-governor? Chris Christie. Oh, they love him. They interviewed him. I don't know if he was actually on the guest list, but Stephanopoulos was
Snuffleupagus?
Yeah, or Stemmococcus or whatever his name is. But he,
whoa, I think allegedly he got that once upon a time.
Stephanopoulos. said the word, but
that's horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah, Chris Christie was just, you know, what happened to the man? And I can remember thinking, you know, in 2016 or 2015, I guess, when all, you know, everybody was running, that, you know, I looked at him. He was a consideration because he seemed to be tough on issues that were important to conservatives. But I mean, all of a sudden, I guess because he got snubbed for any position in the Trump administration, he's just like done a 360. Anyway, he was there talking, and it was, you know, it was a love fest. And it's amazing how I kept hearing references to all the people that were in Washington, D.C., but I don't know if they were referring to the National Guard, if they were counting them as part of the crowd. You know, there are some people that feel like that a lot of that ramping up was done in an effort to keep, not to have to compete with the crowd size that Donald Trump had when he was inaugurated in 2016. So, or 2017, I'm sorry. So anyway, I caught bits and pieces, and then I listened a little bit more after it was over, and the people were talking about the different issues and telling us how wonderful life is going to be in this country now that Joe Biden is president, and how much he's going to bring us all together. So, and just a few minutes, I'm going to go into the list of things. That first thing on his list, half a day in office, and he's already wiped out about 9 things that Donald Trump had. You know, put into motion when he was in office. So, but before we get to there, Dennis Lee, do you have a this day in history?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, Donald Wayne. There's always this day in history.
You were wondering if I was ever going to ask, weren't you?
it's one of those days. So it's, yeah, Robert's this fault. Day in history. Well, right, just because he hadn't got any hot chocolate yet. On this day, November, well, that's not this. This is not November 4th. What's going on?
November.
Where are we? What's going on? Oh, okay.
November.
on this day in history.
You and Dad. And
at least the 20th of January. I don't know what year it is. Minutes after Ronald Reagan's inauguration as the 40th president of the United States. So I guess it would have been on at least the 20th or the 15th or 17th or something. That week in January, the 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, the 52nd, the 52 U.S. captives held at the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, Iran, were released, ending the 444-day Iran hostage crisis. On November 4th, 1979, the crisis began when the militant Iranian students, outraged that the U.S. government had allowed the ousted Shah of Iran to travel to New York City for medical treatment, seized the U.S. embassy in Tehran. The Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran's political and religious leader, took over the hostage situation, refusing all appeals to release the hostages. Even after the UN Security Council demanded an end to the crisis in a unanimous vote. However, 2 weeks after the storming of the embassy, the Ayatollah began to release all non-US captives and all female and minority Americans, citing these groups as among the people oppressed by the government of the United States. The remaining 52 captives remained at the mercy of the Ayatollah for the next 14 months. President Jimmy Carter was unable to diplomatically resolve the crisis, and on April 24th, 1980, he ordered a disastrous rescue mission in which 8 U.S. military personnel were killed and no hostages rescued at all. 3 months later, the former Shah died of cancer in Egypt, but the crisis continued. In November 1980, Carter lost the presidential election to Republican Ronald Reagan. Soon after, with the assistance of Algerian intermediaries, successful negotiations began between the United States and Iran. On the day of Reagan's inauguration, the United States freed almost $8 billion in frozen Iranian assets, and the hostages were released after 444 days. The next day, Jimmy Carter flew to West Germany to greet the Americans on their way home, where they slapped the dog mess out of him. No, not really. They would have been locked up.
Yeah, I was going to say. Where's the Secret Service?
But that was what happened on this day in history back then, because it never gave me a date in the whole flipping thing.
Well, since Reagan took office in 1980, it had to be right around that time. Yeah. I believe
right there.
Yeah, you know, I think that was, if my memory serves me well, which I won't say that it always does, but that was one of the first conspiracy theories that I can remember, because, you know, a lot of people felt like that Ronald Reagan had something to do with having them continue holding the hostages until he took office to keep Jimmy Carter from getting credit for it.
Well,
you probably weren't old enough to remember that story, but that was floating around at the time. That those Republicans, that Ronald Reagan, he made all that happen so I would look bad. I think Jimmy Carter himself even proclaimed that same thing for a number of years. But
yeah, well, he just needs to go eat peanuts.
But he's a good man. You know,
he's a good man.
He couldn't attend today because I don't know, what is he, 140 years old? But they had him.
He's like 94 or
something. They had him on screen today. I think he was there virtually today, but or maybe it was a hologram. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, holograms are cool. Hey, Robert, since you're here, are you still here, Robert? Paging Robert. Robert, are you here?
Dealer.
Okay.
Would you like to do the honors for the Calendar Girls or the National Day segment?
Can you hear me?
We
can hear you.
Would you like to do Calendar Girls?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I can do that.
Is this Friday for not quality or
what? Might as well. It's been screwed up since we started. So. especially the way you started out.
I was just greeting a listener.
I know, but
oh my goodness.
Did he agree to that? Or
agree to what?
Well, did you send him the form to fill out? I mean, it's got to have it on paper.
It was being sent by courier, and I'm assuming unless he didn't want to let the courier in. May have to ask him again because I'm not sure.
I guess not.
What? I've got the
Robert. You want to do the intro of Calendar Girl for Donald Wayne?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready, Donald Wayne?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ron. Uh-oh. I hear feedback. Okay, so National Calendar Day for Wednesday, January the 20th. Today is, or was, more or less, National Butter Crunch Day.
Oh.
You know what Butter Crunch is? Yeah, oh, it is. It is. Nothing. Okay. It's off limits for you right now, right? But
no, I'm not doing that.
So Butter Crunch is a combination of toffee covered with chocolate. It has a crunchy texture and a caramel flavor. Variations on the recipe include tittled almonds.
I beg your pardon?
That's it's something to do with almonds. You
say tittles?
tittled almonds. That's the typo. Anyway, you put almonds on the top of it. Yeah, that's true. But I was reading how you do that, and I know that's probably not that interesting to everybody, but have you ever tried to heat sugar up to where you can make candies out of it? I mean, it's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, I've tried to make my own caramel before. It didn't turn out very well. And I think I had to throw the pan away. So
yeah, probably couldn't get it out of there. But yeah, it's a complicated thing. I would, you know, I'll buy it before I try to make it the way they were describing it. Anyway, that's National Butter Crunch Day. It sounds good. I don't think I've ever had it. So here we are again, and it's a National Cheese Lovers Day. And I don't know how many times in the last 7 months we've talked about some kind of cheese day, but this is just everything cheese. Anyway, the calendar site writes on National. Oh, here's another typo. Okay. On National Cheese Lovers Day, don't feel blue, BLEU. Throw a feta or act capricious. January 20th is a Gouda day.
Capricious.
To coming over and have some cheddar or Asiago or Fontina.
Well, I beg your pardon?
All of that.
You're trying to get me back, aren't you?
Yeah, that was on their description. All that. Anyway, I didn't know this, but thousands of years ago, people transported mild. What? No. Good Lord. I must have. What was I doing when I was doing this? Okay.
Thousands. Who did this to me?
I don't know. It's just like I was in the fourth grade. Thousands of years ago, people transported milk and stored it in sheep's stomachs. They left it to set a few days. The proteins would separate into curds and whey, like Little Miss Tuffet, who sat on her tuffet. No, it sat on. What she sit on her muffin?
What did she do on her muffin? This is a family show, don't
Yes, worry. It is. Anyway, she sat on that thing eating her curds and whey. But that doesn't sound. Now that I know what curds and whey is, that it's something that's been stored in a sheep's stomach. That doesn't sound that appetizing. From there, preserving the solids with salt may have seemed a logical next step. Salt was a highly valued preservative in ancient times. The earliest record of cheese making dates back to 5,500 BCE in what is now considered Poland. But doesn't that sound nasty? Storing milk in a sheep's stomach.
Yeah, I can think of better places to store it.
Oh, it reminds me of one of those episodes of that. What's that guy's name that went out in the wilderness all the time? Grillis. You know, he would go out alone in the wilderness guy. You know who I'm talking about? And he would eat worms and bugs and things to survive. Anyway, it sounds like something from one of his episodes. Yeah.
Huh.
Because he skinned a snake one time and filled the snake snake skin with water so he could carry it with him. Was that fun?
Is that one of the That's one of those survival shows.
Yeah, Bear. About? I think his name is Bear Grylls or Bear something or other. Bear in the Woods. Mm. But anyway, that's what that sheep stomach sounds like. Okay, one more thing. National Disc Jockey Day. Yay! The first disc jockey was an experiment on the airwaves in 1909. Really? 16-year-old Ray Newberry, or Newbie, I guess it's Newbie, was a student under the supervision of Charles Doc Harold. And this guy ran a college of engineering and wireless. Anyway, he played the first records ever over the airwaves before the word disc jockey was even created. It wasn't until 25 years later that radio commentator Walter Winchell, you remember him?
I do.
You have, yeah. He's actually the one that coined the phrase disc jockey. So I guess that would have been somewhere around 1935, something like that. So National Disc Jockey, just... National Disc Jockey Day.
Shocking.
Might as well just keep rolling with it because it's not going to get any better. Okay, that's it for National Calendar Day.
Robert, you want to take us out on that one?
Please.
You're the Easter Bunny when you smile. Every day of the year.
Boom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Robert.
Appreciate that, Robert.
Fine job. Fine job. All right, Dennis. You got something you want to
You know, there's been a lot of talk too about presidential pardons. And so I look back on a list, and there's actually several different lists on presidential pardons that they conflict, but the numbers aren't off that much. Usually they're within less than 100 on the pardon list from what I've seen so far. So this one list, who do you think had the most presidential pardons ever?
I was thinking it was Bill Clinton.
No.
You got Barack Obama.
A little bit further back. Way back.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 2,819 presidential pardons.
Oh, well, most of those were in his family,
I imagine. see, we get up into Lyndon Johnson had 960. Jimmy Carter had 534. Let's see. Bill Clinton had 396. Ronald Reagan, 393. Barack Obama had 212. Donald Trump had 143.
Oh my gosh. And they're complaining about those.
And George W. Bush had the very least. Herbert Walker Bush, that is, George Sr., God rest his soul, had 74.
I heard, I think one time I saw stats on George W. Bush, and I think he had a little less than Barack Obama, but he had quite a few, didn't he? Or is that on your list?
He had 189.
I was thinking it was more. Well, Obama?
Barack Obama had 212.
Oh. Well, yeah. Gee, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, there must have been a lot of crooks that he had.
Then Harry Truman had 1,900.
Golly.
Eisenhower had 1,100, Woodrow Wilson, 1,000. But so some of the most controversial pardons, in 1858, when James Buchanan pardons the Mormons, issued a blanket pardon for Mormons, including leader Brigham Young, in exchange for the religious minority accepting U.S. authority over Utah. And it ended the more than year-long Utah war against U.S. authorities. So I guess the Mormons were a little uppity about James Buchanan. So they just went to war.
Yeah.
And see, 1977, Carter pardons the draft dodgers. Offered a blanket pardon to Vietnam War draft dodgers during his first full day in office. So not on the out, on the in, allowing thousands of young men to return to the U.S. from Canada and other countries.
I kind of remember that just because he was trying to heal all the damage from, or some of the damage from Vietnam. Yeah, right. I kind of remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. 2001, Clinton pardons Patty Hearst and says weatherman. What the hell? Left-wing radicals from the 1960s and 70s, including newspaper heiress, Patty Hearst, and two women affiliated with the Weather Underground. Okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Clinton pardoned his half-brother, Roger Clinton, who was convicted in 1985 of cocaine trafficking, which he was later arrested in 2001 and 2016 for drunk driving. So, you know, God bless him.
He had a lot to be forgiven for.
Right, exactly. 1974, Ford pardons Nixon. Ford pardoned former President Nixon in 1974 after he resigned during the Watergate scandal. Republicans began to abandon him in impeachment proceedings. Ford just stepped in and pardoned him to allow the nation to move on after an intense political scandal. I wonder if that is something that they would actually do now. I was hoping that they would lay all that down tonight and be like, you know, because they asked him, they asked the press secretary about impeachment, and she didn't really say much about it, but said that she felt that the Senate could do, they could do two jobs at one time. I don't know about that.
Well, I did see several people interviewed. They're obviously Democrats before the show, and they were all saying, you know, he needs to be punished. He's a war criminal. He incited the riot, and it's, yeah. So Democrats are out for blood. They want to take every opportunity they can. So I don't know.
Yeah, what?
You wonder whether Biden would pardon him if they do try to convict him.
Yeah. In a, like an act of, you know, mercy and look, we're going to heal the nation. Let's just go ahead and pardon them and get it out of the way and be done with it. Because, I mean, if they truly want to move forward, what is the point?
Yeah, but there's a lot of people in the party that now are looking at this as an opportunity to punish not only Trump, but the rest of us who supported him or may have even supported him or actually worked in his administration. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Part of me thinks that I just can't imagine there's anything, and everything that I've heard from legal scholars being interviewed is that there's just no precedent for doing this and no reason to do it, but it would be their one surefire way of making sure he never has a political future. But I'm not in that camp. You know, he's going to be too old in 4 years, in my opinion, to even want to do that. Right. I don't, there's no reason for him to do that anymore. So, but, you know, you kind of, that would actually, to me, would show Republicans a little bit more than anything else they could do if Biden made that kind of gesture. But he's going to get an awful lot of pressure from all those around him to go for blood, because they want to make an example, in my opinion.
Well, they did. They did. There was a story that did come out that, you know, they failed to get a pardon for Joe Exotic, the Tiger King. So I know he was really holding on that onto that hope, but, you know, nope.
Well,
Joe Exotic.
He didn't pardon Julian Assange either, did he?
No, but, you know, it's very rare for requests for pardons to be honored. Most of the pardons that are done are ones that the, I mean, I'm sure in the background people are still lobbying for them, but most pardons that are submitted by the person who wants to be pardoned are usually rejected.
Really?
Very few in history that have actually been accepted. I think, you know, around two or three.
So they're actually running all the people on TV now, the names of all the people that Trump pardoned, which there's 143 of them.
Let's see. What does that jive with here? What did I say? Yeah, 143. Yeah, that's what this list says.
I saw a woman interviewed this afternoon that she was one of those pardoned by Trump, but she is already out of prison. But by pardoning them, I think that takes away... that restores all of your rights, because after you go to prison, you lose certain rights. And I think
it wipes it out completely.
Yeah. So,
and if they impeach him, because these individuals were pardoned, even if he's impeached, those pardons still stand. It doesn't matter. You can't take a presidential pardon away once it's given.
I would hope not.
It's in the Constitution.
Well, Joe may have to do that for his son if there's any chance in the world that people are going to pursue that.
I just really don't think with the complete power on the left, I don't think that anybody's going to dare try and do that now.
I heard at one point today one thing that caught my ear, and it's like I did a double take because I didn't hear enough of it to really understand it, but I heard Biden say something to the effect that, you know, I'd always thought that maybe my son would be standing here one day, and I'm thinking, surely not, we're not talking about Hunter. And then I was told later that he was talking about his son, Bo, that passed away a few years ago. So,
yeah, that was an unfortunate casualty of the debates that got brought up. And actually, I don't think that Trump brought it up. He was talking about Hunter, and Biden just kept bringing up Bo. But I don't think that Trump ever brought up Bo.
Yeah,
that would have been really in poor taste.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And they were talking today about Joe Biden's wife passing away a few years ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but they brought it up. And
it was back in the 70s or 80s.
Really? That far back?
Back in the 70s. Well, he's been in politics since for 50 years. 50 years he's been in, a senator. So, or in politics altogether.
Yeah, I think he was something else. Maybe he was in the House of Representatives before being a senator. I don't remember. But, he's been around a lot. Well, you know, looking at him today, I mean, they really shouldn't shoot the man from the side. Now, I know when you're up almost 80 years old, I mean, you're not going to look your best unless you're one of these people that gets, well, he actually has had some work done, but, he looks tired and,
He does, but we were talking about it earlier that everything he had to do today, he's, 78 years old.
Yeah.
Not that he's not, nothing wrong with that, but he had a lot of running around. He had a big day today. It was a huge day.
And they made him walk down the street.
Yeah, made him walk down the street and, probably hadn't got much sleep. And, so I can't dog on him too much for that. He did look like he was falling asleep during the inauguration there for a minute when the pastor was up there, or the preacher, or the cardinal, or whatever he was. Yeah.
You know, that was one of the things, too, that kind of bugged me today is they've made, of course, I know they have to. This is the president. This is the inauguration, and the flag has to be part of it. America, rah, 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 has to be part of it. But, you know, the Democrats were so unsupportive of issues with the disrespect to the flag for the last 4 years. Now, all of a sudden, patriotism is the word of the day. And, you know, it's almost hypocritical, but, you know, I realized that they couldn't have gone into the inauguration today talking the way they've talked for the past 4 years. So, but I guess I shouldn't have expected anything else, but they made a big deal out of, the people that were there today. I did not hear, Lady Gaga sing the national anthem. So I don't know how that went.
Lady Gaga did a really good job on the national anthem.
Did she?
I thought she nailed it. There was several good performances. I think Lady Gaga did good. Didn't care much for the boss. I didn't think he did very well. I just don't like him as much these days. Katy Perry did pretty good. There was a band out of Austin that did good. Justin Timberlake, I like him. John Legend, I thought, did really good. So there was some good acts. David Grohl from the Foo Fighters, I think, was horrible. They can't all be, you know, top of their game.
who's the country and western star that sang today?
Well, now there was several.
Garth Brooks
was on there. I didn't get to hear him. Garth Brooks was on there. They had several different country artists. There was one country duo that was on there, and I can't even remember who it was. So they were later on in the show. They actually did pretty good too. So there were some good acts in there. There were some ones that weren't that great, but there were some good ones in there. I think Jennifer Lopez did pretty good too. So Tom Hanks, I kept waiting to see when he was going to completely freeze up. His mouth just kept starting to freeze. I mean, it was only 28 degrees, so.
28 degrees where?
At the Capitol.
Oh, they were doing that show at the Capitol?
Well, no, Tom Hanks was at the Capitol. No, he was at the Mall of America.
Oh, in Minnesota?
He was.
Isn't that where it is?
Now, Mall of America, where they had the where they had all the flags.
The mall in Washington, D.C. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm thinking a real mall you're talking about. A shopping mall. Yeah. Okay.
Jeez. Yeah. And he was pretty well frozen. So.
Have you ever been to D.C.?
No, never in my life.
Oh, okay.
Never in my life.
I don't know if now would be the time, but, I went, gosh, it's been 10 years ago now. And it's a fascinating place, and it's awesome. Probably the most awe-inspiring thing that I did was stand at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial. And it's so much more surreal when you're standing there as opposed to looking at it in movies and stuff. I mean, it's just awe-inspiring. And then, of course, you stand there and look at the pool, and I think at the opposite end is the Washington Monument, which unfortunately I didn't get to go into, but yeah, it's
It's probably going to be a different kind of city now for a while.
Well, I mean, look, what can we do except for hope for the best? I definitely don't want to get any worse, no matter who was taking it over. I'll do the same way that I did when Obama took over. Just hope for the best, and see what they can do.
I did see a story.
2 years of the whole thing,
Well, yeah, a lot of people are talking about that and hoping, that's the way some Republicans are getting through it, or conservatives. And it's hard to say Republicans nowadays, because a lot of people don't consider themselves really a Republican, but they are conservative. And but they're surviving, telling themselves, well, it's only 2 years. And actually, next year, they'll start gearing up for, the contest to see who's going to run. I did see a little bit on the TV also of our two new Georgia senators being sworn in, and Kamala Harris got to swear them in. So, I don't know what surprised me more. I don't know that Biden surprised me as much as, what's his name? The one, not Warnock, but the other one that got elected here in Georgia.
Ossoff.
Yeah, Ossoff.
Yeah,
I keep thinking Beto O'Rourke, but that's
mayor that Whit from Texas.
A Beto O'Rourke. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's right. Well, they look similar, don't they? Couldn't they be brothers?
I mean, they could kind of be.
Kind of got the same build and hair and everything, but
yeah.
But yeah, John Ossoff, saw them get sworn in, and Kamala got to do the honors for that. And the lady that got to do the, what did she say? The Pledge of Allegiance. She was from Atlanta. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. She was a
fire chief.
Marshal, not a marshal, a fire chief out of DeKalb.
Yep.
Actually.
Yep.
Decatur. I'm sorry.
Decatur. First black woman to have that position. So she got to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it was something. It was something. And of course the press was making a big deal out of, well, George Bush is here and he knows how to act. And Bill Clinton, let's see, that's probably as close as Hillary will ever be to that again.
I didn't see her at all. I saw Bill, but I didn't see Hillary.
Really? Somebody, she was doing some interviews. But I actually didn't see Bill Clinton standing up there. I just heard them talk about how, gracious George Bush was, and why couldn't, Donald Trump have been more like that. And and I guess who else would have been there? Of course, Barack Obama was there.
Yeah, Obama was there.
And then Jimmy Carter, and obviously, and then couldn't be there. And then we lost Papa Bush, and of course Reagan's gone. So yeah, everybody was there, but the Donald.
Yeah, and Carter.
Yeah, and Carter. Okay. You got more on that?
No, that's all I got on that right there.
Okay, I'm gonna
Z Pardons.
Mm-hmm. So I want to do this clip again. I should have looked that up while you were talking. I'll end up playing a song here. I'm going to do this clip, and just if you have any reaction to it afterwards, chime in. It's not too long. Let's see where that is. Hello.
Hello.
Where? How did those pictures get on there? Okay.
Oh my.
This is one of your favorite stations, Dennis Lee. It's CNN, and it's Brian Stelzer. Eric usually corrects me when I say that guy's name, but I think it's Brian Stelzer. Anyway, Brian was interviewing two guys, but the only one that really shows up is this guy named Alex Stamos, and he's somebody that used to work for Facebook, or they call him a former Facebook, I don't know if they use the word operative or insider. They call him a former Facebook insider. Now, what the hell is that? I don't know. But I'm going to play this clip and hear what this guy Stamos is saying about what needs to be done with news sources in this country. Let me see if I get it in the right place. What is that?
What in the world?
I don't know. Let's see. I've put way too many things on there since I did that. I'm trying to find it. Here it is. Okay. I got to run it back here. All right.
Information crisis that has been perpetuated, in my view, by platforms like the one we're used to work, Facebook, as well as Twitter and others. It's really hard because what's happening is people are able to seek out the information that makes them feel good. That is what happening is that, you know, people have so much choice now. They can choose what their news sources are. They can choose what influencers they want to follow. And they can try to seal out anything that helps them question that. And I think that gets to a really core issue with how our freedoms as Americans and the way we've treated press freedom in the past is being abused by these actors. In that we have given a lot of leeway, both in the traditional media and on social media, to people to have a very broad range of political views. And it is now in the great economic interest of those individuals to become more and more radical. And I think that one of the places you can see this is on the fact that you now have competitors to Fox News on their right, OANN, yes, and Newsmax, which are carried by all the major cable networks, who are trying to now outflank Fox on the right, because the moment Fox introduced any kind of realism into their reporting, immediately a bunch of people chose to put themselves into a sealed ecosystem. And they can do that both on cable, they can do it online. And that becomes a huge challenge of figuring out how do you bring those people back into the mainstream of fact-based reporting and try to get us all back into the same consensual reality.
And can you? Is that possible? Seems like that's an open question.
It's hard. I mean, I think we got to do a couple things. One, there needs to be an intentional work by the social media companies collaborating together to work on violent extremism in the same way they worked on ISIS. When I started at Facebook in 2015, the number one challenge from a content perspective was the abuse of social media by the Islamic State. And there was a collaboration between the tech companies and between the tech companies and law enforcement to make it impossible for them to use the internet to recruit and radicalize mostly young Muslim men at the time around the world. Now we're talking about domestic audience in the United States. And the challenge is going to be partially that, you know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress, but there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. And there will be a continual political pressure on the companies to not take it seriously. So I think first you have to focus on those violent extremists, and those companies have to be brave in that way. And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
Alex and Chris, thank you both for looking ahead with us.
So did you get all that? I mean, this guy's basically on there saying that we need to control the information that, that of course, he's calling us right or calling people right wing extremist. But he said a couple of things there that I want to bring up. One, he said that half the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. Dennis Lee, I don't remember it being that kind of number. Do you remember that? I thought there was like
no, I don't.
10.
I don't remember that number at all. Hey, Justuck. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Justuck.
No, I don't remember that number at all. I think that's very exaggerated.
So, okay, here's a guy that's talking about. He said we need to bring everybody back to. Let me see if I wrote that down. He wants to bring everybody back to. How do you bring people back into the mainstream fact-based reporting? And then here's that same guy that made that statement, throw out a statement like half the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. Now, is that nuts or is it just me? I mean, he's advocating, you know, that people need to pay attention to fact-based media, which, you know, obviously he's talking about CNN and probably ABC, NBC, and so forth. But then he throws out a statement like that that is not fact-based.
Right.
Let's see. And he wants to get us all back into the same consensual reality. You have any idea what that is? What is the reality? They spent 4 years telling us that Donald Trump was a racist. They spent 4 years telling everybody that supported him was either a racist or a white supremacist, and on and on and on and on. They spent several years talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. And these are people saying that they're in that fact-based consensual reality. I don't know. I mean, it just seems a little bit disingenuous to me. It concerns me because there's more and more people talking about restricting free speech and restricting conservatives' access to multiple outlets to get their, you know, their news and express their opinion. I saw a movement. There was a couple of House of Representatives that wanted to do something about Newsmax, saying that it was a danger because it was all right wing. I have a hard time saying
wing. Look what they did to Parler. Parler, there's no way. I mean, they've tried, but they've already said that they don't see a way where they can come back from that. They've been rejected by at least 6 large providers to host after Amazon took it offline.
Right. Well, supposedly, they're going to let them come back on if they'll agree to, you know, toning down the rhetoric on Parler, and who knows whether or not.
Yeah. Well, that leads me also to, the MyPillow guys facing all this backlash. Katie Couric on her little show that she does said that, Trump supporters now need to be reprogrammed. Are we in China? Do we need to go into re-education camps? Is that what the hell she's talking about? That sure didn't sound like a democracy to me.
I know. And that's the kind of crap that infuriates me. And it got me worked up last night, which is, I saw that little clip. And then after, like you said, Katie Couric's comment, I mean, who do they think they are that we need to be reprogrammed? And who do they think we are that there was somebody made a statement that they need to take the children of conservatives and reprogram the children? So right. What kind of country is this that they think that they have a right to decide what should be the main train of thought in this country. I think it's dangerous. Go ahead, Eric.
I would honestly say with Katie Couric, I mean, I have really lost all respect for her because, I mean, she is basically, you know, very far removed from her days on the Today Show when she was really good. And I know in her time at the CBS Evening News and her syndicated talk show that lasted only 2 years, I mean, we all saw how those turned out to be epic failures. And then now, her work with Yahoo, I think, things have just not gotten better for her. And I wonder if she ever questions at times if she should have just stayed on at the Today Show where she was doing so well and had not left. And, and I would imagine she probably had a fan base that really liked her. And I would imagine I'm not alone in losing respect for her in this manner.
No. Well, yeah, I too loved Katie Couric back in the day, back when she first, was it NBC? Yeah,
back when she was at her very best in NBC's Today Show.
Yeah, and actually journalism was still somewhat clean back then, in my opinion. But somehow or another, they decided this is their duty in life to tell us how we're supposed to think. And then like that clip I played a minute ago, on Brian Stelzer's CNN show, that guy was saying, we need to limit the choices that people on the right have to listen to, and we need to limit their ability to communicate with each other about these radical ideas. So it's dangerous. This is we made it through 8 years of the Obama administration. I mean, I wasn't crazy about Obama, but I was never worried too much about the country. But I no longer feel that way. I have legitimate concerns now. And if these people who are saying, I mean, nobody would have ever said what they've been saying on TV the last few weeks, 8-12 years ago. It never would have been said. They would have been afraid to say it. I saw Bernie Sanders on there today being interviewed, and I don't remember a lot of what he was saying, but it was Bernie doing what Bernie does, talking about all of the things that that they're going to be pushing to change, and get right into that student loan thing and pushing the minimum wage for $15 an hour. And all of that. So if these people start doing the things they say they're going to do, it's going to be a bumpy ride. But, it should energize conservatives to start we need some new blood in the Republican Party. We need some new blood in the Conservative Party. We need to start going for some youth and get some of these old people to step aside. And I'm in that class of the old people, but we've had our time, and some of these people need to get out of the way because they don't do anything. And they've hurt the party.
I'm really in agreement with that. But I would think
your position. Yeah. That long and actually suck at it.
Well, how do you get how do you get new ideas? How do you get, I don't know. How do you ever make progress if you've got the same people for 50 years, running the country? It's just not even logical. Most corporations don't allow even their CEOs. I mean, look at the Home Depot guys that started the company. I mean, they hit a certain time and they pushed them out. The board of directors, said, okay, y'all got to retire. But we let these people go to Congress who makes laws and spend our money. And they were saying something about today. Well, instead of focusing on all the problems we've got here, and I'm going to get to this in a couple of minutes, assuming we have time. Biden starts signing some executive orders that affect things overseas and not so much here in the country. I mean, some of them do, but we shouldn't be focused on anything overseas right now as far as spending money is concerned. So
yeah,
you know,
and I agree with Jess Duck. We need to, you know, not a fan of Biden either, but we need to. He needs to stay in office as long as he can, and if Kamala takes over,
yeah,
in trouble.
I'll be willing to wager with anybody that I don't think you'll last a year health wise, but you know, then I think about, well, what about one? Well, there's one of those movies where a president was incapacitated and they went out and found a double and they kept him alive.
The Manchurian candidate.
Was that what it was? Yeah. And
I believe so.
But you know,
well, that was orchestrated.
Well, yeah, that's true. But don't think for a minute that Kamala hadn't got her eyes set on that big office, and the party probably does too, for her.
Well, she's young enough that she can go for it. You know, once the term's up, you know, she could go for it.
I just don't think Joe can finish out 4 years, but I could be wrong.
I don't think so either. I mean, he's the oldest president that we've ever had, and he definitely won't go for a second term.
No.
Because then he would definitely be he'd be pushing close to 90.
Yeah, here's my question about Kamala. And, honestly, I don't know anything about her other than what was said about her, one, during the primary season, which there wasn't a lot of good things said about her. But they think she's so wonderful. And of course, she didn't get along with Joe Biden at the time. If she was such a great choice to be the president, why in the world didn't she win the primary instead of riding on the coattails of Joe Biden? So, you know, people seem to be excited at the opportunity that she might become the next president. But yet they weren't excited enough to make her the party favorite back last year. So I think that's a question. All right. So running a little bit on time here, let me go through these things that Joe Biden today accomplished. Should I say accomplished? How would we put that? He did on his first day in office, and is actually only a half a day, right?
Well, you think it half is a half a day, but I'm sure he feels like it's a week.
Yeah, I bet he does. And boy, they had those things lined up for him, didn't they? I bet his staff's been working for a couple of weeks trying to get them all stacked up on his desk. Well,
and it is historical in so many ways today, because this is the first time that any of those individuals have been sworn in virtually like that. He had to swear in his whole cabinet, or not his cabinet, but, you know, I mean, all the people that were going to work in his administration, he did that virtually today, and that's never happened.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's never happened.
Well, it says that he did. He signed 17 actions. I don't know if they called them directives or what, but they say 17 actions. But this is from CNN Politics, and they have it classified as a topic and then a reversal, meaning a reversal of what Donald Trump had done. But the first one on the list was related to the coronavirus, and he says he launches a 100-day masking challenge. So he's dictated that masks must be worn in all federal buildings, on federal lands, and by federal or government contractors. And of course, he urges states and local governments to do the same. A second one was dealing with the coronavirus. He says, stops the United States withdrawal from the World Health Organization, which was a reversal of what Donald Trump was doing. Next one is coronavirus, creates the position of COVID-19 response coordinator. So he's done that. On the economy, he extends the existing nationwide moratorium on evictions and foreclosures until at least March the 31st.
Well, I think he's going to run that once that new stimulus package. It's going to run all the way to the end of September.
No, really? Oh, well.
And I agree with Jess Duck on the Keystone Pipeline. Trudeau was not very happy about that.
I'll bet. Well, I hadn't got to the pipeline yet, but I think that's the.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think about 11,000 people are out of work, it sounds like.
Yeah, they were showing pictures today of people standing out in the oil field. They're also showing pictures of people standing at the wall. So there's going to be a lot of people that are out of a job tomorrow. Be more on that line that need to get a check. He extends the existing pause on student loans. We knew that was going to happen up until September the 30th. He rejoins the Paris Climate Accord. We knew he was going to do that. And he cancels the Keystone pipeline. That's mind-boggling to me. He's had to do that, obviously, for his party people to satisfy the people in that he's having to answer to. He rescinds the Trump's administration 1776 commission. I never did really read that much about that, but I thought it was some kind of a directive that Donald Trump was trying to do to get the schools to do a better job of teaching American history. Is that kind of what it was? Anybody know?
Anybody?
Bueller? Yeah. Bueller? Okay. Anyway, he's rescinds that. So he doesn't want that to be taught. They probably put that other one in there that came out, that there was so much controversy over, the saying that the pilgrims were all racist.
There you go, pilgrim.
So he requires non-citizens to be included in the census and apportioned for congressional representatives. So they're going to count non-citizens towards us in the census. So, and that'll count towards how many representatives, congressmen that can be elected in each district. So that should have a big impact on.
And it gets even better. I'm sure. I'm hoping that it's on your list. Cause I'm ready. I'm ready for that one.
Okay. Well, I got six more here.
Yeah.
Immigration fortifies DACA. So he's fortifying DACA. And that, of course, that's the children brought into the country. That's the undocumented people brought in as children. Mm-hmm. Immigration reverses Trump administration restrictions on U.S. entry for passport holders from seven Muslim majority countries. He undoes Trump's expansion of immigration enforcement within the United States. So I don't know. I guess that means they're going to cut back to where they were. Of course, Obama actually deported a lot of people, so they seem to forget that. He halts construction at the border of the wall, terminating the national emergency declaration used to fund it. Extends deferrals of deportation and work authorizations for Liberians. I didn't know that was a problem.
The libraries need plenty of workers. I don't know why, though. You can't go in there.
I didn't know Liberians had a problem, but safe haven.
But they read. I mean, they read a lot of books.
Ethics requires executive branch appointees to sign an ethics pledge barring them from acting in personal interest. There goes his son. And requiring them to uphold the independence of the Department of Justice. What the? Okay. And then the last thing on my list, though it may not be on here, Dennis Lee, directs the OMB director to develop recommendations to modernize regulatory review and undoes Trump's regulatory approval. Now, I forgot to mention up there when I was talking about the World Health Organization that also mentioned in an article that Dr. Fauci was going to be the representative for the United States to the World Health Organization. So
indeed,
he probably got a little bump in his salary.
Oh, yeah, he got a bump. All right. is that the end of your list, Donald Wayne?
That was all that was on CNN.
So what about the 11 million immigrants that are here in the United States that he is going to give them a path to citizenship? So they would actually, under this new stimulus bill, even if they're not legalized in the United States, one of the things in this new stimulus package is the possibility that undocumented immigrants in the United States would be eligible to get the freaking stimulus check. How are you eligible to get the freaking stimulus check if you haven't paid taxes? Because I thought that that was a legit way that you actually get the stupid check. But then if that's the case, then, I mean, hell. And then they want to give them a path to citizenship, which, okay. So then you've instantly got 11 million taxpayers. And 11 million voters.
Democrats.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're hoping for. You know, here's my quick thought about that. And I was thinking about that today. And, no one seems to know how to solve that problem. Our Republicans and the Congress failed us, the first 2 years with Donald Trump's term to fix this. All this talk about we're going to fix immigration. Nobody's fixed it since Ronald Reagan. When Ronald Reagan agreed to give amnesty to all of the illegals that were in the country back in, I don't know what year it was, Eric, you may know, but 86, somewhere around there.
About 86, 87 was when Reagan did that amnesty thing, and it really got him in a lot of trouble.
It did, but he did it on the condition that Congress would fix immigration. And there was
Congress went back on that promise, of course.
Well, sure they did, because they'll never fix it. You know why? Because they're too worried about being reelected. Or there's always, there's always somebody they're beholden to. Why wouldn't, they had 40 years to fix immigration, and they can't fix it? And we're going to keep just allowing people to come over here illegally. We're going to give them citizenship and make them available to all the services that Americans who have, been here or immigrants that have done it the right way and come in legally. Of course, we got a caravan headed this way, so there's going to be some more people in that line.
Oh, we're just going to let them in. Matter of fact, I think those people who are coming up through the caravan are going to be taking down the wall that's been put up so far.
If they let them tear down that wall, I tell you what. the Texans need to step up, send the Texas Rangers down there.
I don't think they're going to tear it down, but they're not going to continue it, that's for sure. I think you should leave what's up because we've actually paid for that already. So leave it up or disperse all that metal and all that money to all the Americans and back into the United States. All the taxpayers that have paid something, let's go ahead and send it to the scrapyard and divvy up the money. Probably not going to get it much for that, but we've already paid for that. You need to just leave it there. Consider that one of your monuments. Yeah.
Well, I find it amazing. I mean, he was saying, before the signing, he said, "Well, I believe that there's no better time than now, and I need to do what I told the American people I was going to do," and that's what he started doing. He actually, the article went on to say, I didn't do the whole article, but it said he's actually printed a calendar up. He's had a calendar. So there's certain days of the week that he's going to address different facets of the American issues in America, economy one day, immigration one day, infrastructure and all that. He's got that planned out according to this article. And, one of his big things seems to be this infrastructure stuff. Now that wasn't on what he did today, but is coming up. And they're going to propose to do a lot of work on roads and bridges and highways within the country, especially, I guess, the interstates and so forth. But, who typically, what's the majority of the workers that end up on those kinds of projects? So he's talking about creating jobs for Americans who need jobs.
Majority of them are union.
Well, that wasn't actually where I was going with it, Eric. I see a lot of road construction projects in the county that I live in and even on the interstate and stuff. And I would say typically, you don't see too many Well,
you know, Hispanic.
Yeah. And I'm not saying all those people on those crews are illegals. Obviously, that wouldn't be a smart thing for, you know, for some of these employers to do. But it's just, that's not going to create a lot of jobs for these people that don't have jobs, or these homeless people that are still. I saw a thing, Dennis Lee, about the homeless situation in Austin, Texas. Have you seen that?
Right.
I mean, people are sleeping on the streets down towards the Music Row. I don't know if they call it Music Row in Austin, but they were showing pictures.
They got a pretty big drug problem in Austin, too. So, I mean, I could see that happening.
Well, that's probably coming from Willie's farm. That's not too far away from
allegedly.
Not too far away from Austin, but yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, why can't we take care of Americans first, the people that are already here, get our stuff together, and then if you've got some money left over and some time, then we can start doing things for other people on a smaller scale.
Right.
But that's not the road we're going down. It's going to, like I said, this is going to be an interesting couple of weeks, because he's hell bent on getting out here and start throwing this stuff around real quick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, executive orders, you know, taking, you know, canceling out previous
president's orders,
presidential orders. I mean, it's done by every administration.
Oh, sure.
You know? So we knew that was going to happen as soon as he got in there. I think the Keystone Pipeline, I mean, that thing has been bounced back and forth for so many years. It's not even funny.
Well, Obama never would address it.
Right.
And how do you go from energy independence, which we've had here for a few years now, and you're going to be complacent, and now we're going to start buying oil from the Middle East again?
Yep.
Or they think they're going to force everybody into electric cars? I mean, you imagine how many cars are on the road in this country, and how many people can't afford an electric car?
You know, and you have to also wonder, how's that Green New Deal going for AOC and the squad who are wanting the Green New Deal so bad?
Well, AOC is already at odds with Biden, especially over the stimulus package. She thinks that they should be $2,000 payments on top of the $600 that already went out. And they're like, no, we're going to do the $1,400. And she's already bucking a little bit. The squad as a whole, I think, is bucking. So I don't think that was sold on Biden coming in either.
You know, and then, I mean, I didn't really get to watch that 60 Minutes interview Leslie Stahl did with Nancy Pelosi, but I think based on some of the questions Leslie Stahl, you know, threw at like Nancy Pelosi, you know, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that Pelosi wasn't really interested in those questions, like, you know, basically saying to Leslie that, you know, she should ask those questions directly to AOC and stuff.
Right.
You know, but I would almost get the feeling like Pelosi and AOC are kind of at odds, you know, because I think there's more going on behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Right.
I lost my train. I was trying to do something here. I lost my train of thought. We're probably going to have to start closing up here because of
they're going to shut us now.
Time constraints.
Because somebody did a little mini pod last night, and I'm not sure where that time's going to fall in here. So, but venture, you know, Friday. Well, we've been talking about doing little mini pods in between our normal 3 days a week, and that's probably, it started last night. We're going to probably start doing it more often as weeks go on, but going to try to space it where it doesn't take away time here, because that silly 2-hour thing that Podbeam has initiated now is going to have to do some homework. But Friday night, we were going to do a cup giveaway tonight, but Friday night, we're going to do a cup giveaway. We're going to do a little contest. That's going to be a fun contest. So come back on Friday if you want to have a chance at winning a Trice Talk coffee mug. And with that, Eric, you want to do your thing for us, please, sir?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely plugging some good podcast shows. Of course, we know every weekday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, you have the Ralph William podcast, and he's on every weekday for 2 hours, and then Chit Chat with the Old Man weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, and me and the Old Man and Dean Joe chit chat, you know, lighthearted for about close to 90 minutes, and Jess Duck is one of our little friends on that show, and we're grateful that she's become a little friend of Trice Talk and Slightly Serious and John DeVito and a couple other friends. And and on the Podbean daytime schedule, you can always be on the lookout for Cummings' Culture, Wolf's Real Talk Radio, as well as Just Another Day in Paradise. And on Wednesdays and Fridays, be on the lookout for Frankie D's Crib. And I'm thinking, instead of Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, this looks to probably be working toward becoming a new weeknight thing. Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea. And of course, Slightly Serious is on every weeknight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And to our fans of the Slightly Serious Show, we do sincerely apologize for the take one mishap earlier, where it got a little out of hand. And Honeybee, if you're listening to this, and if Pertwee is listening to this, me and Slightly are truly sorry, and we will, address the issue. And but Cummings' Culture, thank goodness he saved the day. And on weekends, be on lookout for Lyrical Axives. And over on the VOP Empire, be on lookout for the Conspiracy Couch podcast, as well as yours truly, Mr. Impact, with the Truly Impacted podcast and Truly's show weekdays at noon. And We Drink and We Know Things with Carrie and Kevin on Sunday nights, the VOP Ladies Night on Mondays, the VOP Roundtable on Tuesdays, Rise Above the Noise on Wednesdays, the VOP flagship show on Thursdays, and the VOP roast on Fridays, and hopefully more podcast friends joining us very soon. And so, and here's Dennis Lee and Donald Wayne with how you can get in touch with Tall Tales in the Rabbit Hole and Trice Talk.
Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate that, Eric. Well, if you'd like to grab us or Twitter us, you can do that at Trice Talk WG Moon. You can email us at tristalk69pts@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Trice Talk and Spotify at Trice Talk. Hell, you can even find us on Amazon Music at Trice Talk. And we're on every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern with now impromptu shows in between those times, so you never know when Donald Wayne is going to pop a short little mini segment up.
Thanks,
in there. So yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Coffee. I'll be going to be up all night. And if you want to get weird, then you can come on over to Tall Tales in the Rabbit Hole, where we talk about conspiracies and whatnot, and it is explicit, so you can use those words that you wouldn't say in front of your mother or father. And we are on every Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern with impromptu shows at times. But you will know about those impromptu shows for Trice Talk and Tall Tales if you follow the show. You will get notifications, and we surely appreciate it.
I can't believe you say some of those things, Dennis Lee. I can't believe you use some of that language.
Love you, God bless you, everybody.
I really thought you would talk better than that.
I know. Yeah, rebel. Just a rebel.
Well, love you and God bless you. And I did email you earlier, Donald, that I've already had to tell a couple of podcast friends to beware of certain trolls, like, making the rounds on Podbean and crashing shows. So I think podcast friends of ours do need to be advised.
Okay. I appreciate it. I think I got your song here to close out tonight, Eric. I think it's the one you've been asking me to do. So we'll see in a minute when I finish the closing thoughts, see if that's the one you've been looking for. All right, the closing thought for tonight is, but I do have an unyielding belief that all people yearn for certain things. The ability to speak your mind and have a say in how you are governed. Confidence in the rule of law and the equal administration of justice. Government that is transparent and doesn't steal from the people. The freedom to live as you choose. Those are not just American ideas. They are human rights. And that is why we will support them everywhere. And that was uttered by Barack Obama. So,
indeed.
Yeah. Right. So, again, thanks everybody for joining us tonight. Hope you come back on Friday when we'll do Friday Frivolity, where everything is just nuts and we'll be giving away a cup, hopefully. And I'm going to start this, Dennis Lee, and then you can.
Go to sleep, you little baby.
That's it.
All righty. You want to turn out the lights, Dennis Lee?
Oh, this party's over, but I'm going to get lulled to sleep. Have a good one, y'all.
This is how Mark Karam at WSB Radio closes out his show every night. See you later, everybody.
Yeah. Go to sleep, you little baby.
Stay safe, everybody.
Till next time.
Everybody's gone in the cotton and the corn. Didn't leave nobody but the baby. You're sweet little baby. Honey and the rock and the sugar don't stop. Gonna bring a bottle to the baby. Don't you weep, pretty baby. Don't you weep.